I'm teaching on love. You can't get enough of it, and I think, I mean, you know, if God is all love, right? How much of that do you need?
All of it.
Right. So Tina Turner was wrong. What's love got to do with it? She had no idea. Turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. All right, so in verse 16, just the first part, it says, "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love." It's just what it is, right? God is love. There's no question. Doesn't say he's kind of love. Doesn't say once in a while he'll be love. That's just who he is. Verse 8. It says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Right? Wonderful. And verse 10. It says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." So it's established for us that that's just who God is. He is love. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." And that shed abroad is, it's gushed out. Isn't that neat? It runs greedily. So once you got born again, that love is in there. It gushed out. It was waiting just for a home. And it just gushed out and it runs all over. So I want to know what this love is. I really do. More and more. Constantly. And you do get to know it more and more the more you put the word on, honestly. But anyway, turn to Zephaniah. That is four books before Matthew. Yeah. Okay, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Isn't that great? He even rests in his love. It's even so contenting to him that he's just silent about it. Like, he was going to rejoice over you. He's going to have singing with you. All that stuff. So when we got saved, there was joy over us and singing, that we got made whole, that we were people of body, soul, and spirit. So part of what we got then was his love. Turn to John 3:16. As you all know, we were a part of this world. And and it says, "For God so loved the world." He doesn't say he liked the stuff in it. He didn't like how people were acting. He still doesn't like how people are acting. But he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In love, something is done, right? So God gave his Son. God is love. He so loved the world, and with that he gave his Son. All love, in all love there is something to be done with it. And I think that's wonderful. Who God is what he put inside us so that we have this ability to love like he does. We walk in a different way now. I don't care what the world says love is all about. They're wrong, you know what I mean? And so we're just talking about God's love, really, because for us that is, it's crucial. For the world, it's crucial. He gave his only begotten Son to the world, for the world. So turn to Acts chapter 17. Verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Right? That's just in him. If you decide to live in him, that's where you're going to live and move and have your being. So that love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's gushed out. You're living for him. Guess who's going to be happy recipients? Us and anybody else. I just think it's wonderful. So turn to 1 John 4 again. And verse 19. It says, "We love him because he first loved us," right? Isn't that sweet? You can't toot your own horn on that one. You know, it's still always the case. You know, we love him because he first loved us. That hasn't changed. So that's a great starting point for us in love, is to start loving him. And turn to 1 Corinthians 13, which is just a great definition, this whole chapter, of what love, what it is. If you don't know what it is, it's not a feeling. It can be a feeling, so to speak, or a knowing, but God's very specific in what it is. 1 Corinthians 1, verse chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, God's love in manifestation, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You're just noise, whether you're loud noise or little noise. It's just noise. So without God's love, that's just what it is. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing." Those are amazing feats. Everybody's going to notice if you remove a mountain, right? Or move a mountain. Everybody's going to notice, "Hey, good job. Good job, Kat. Good job." But not done in God's love doesn't profit you anything. Zippity-doo-dah. No thing. Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing." Again, these are wonderful things to do for people, you know, give all your goods to the poor. Yay, you know, but again, it doesn't profit you anything. God's trying to make a point that he wants you to profit from this. You know, that's really what it is. And but anyway, we're still nothing without his love. Where am I here? Verse 4, "Charity suffers long." All these things are decisions, you know what I mean? They really are decisions to tap into that love that you got within here or not. You know, just, or cop an attitude or not. But charity does suffer long. It endures. It just endures. And sad to say, we have to endure sometimes with ourselves, with others, with this world. But that is our answer. But that charity, that love of God, it will endure. God will help you. and is kind, right? Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. So kind. It's useful or benevolent. And charity envies not. It's not jealous. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not a bragger. "Oh, did you see the mountain I removed? Did you see the mountain I moved? Did you see the good works I did? Did ya? You didn't? Well, let me tell you about it." No, there's no need for it. Because God's love is just that. It's not going to boast, you know? Somebody else can toot your horn, I don't know. But, let's see. is not puffed up. It's not inflated, you know. Just a waste of time, really. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeks not her own. Is not easily provoked. And that's one I work on sometimes. And it's well worth my effort because I don't know why certain things provoke us. They do. And, you know, God's not asking us to be Jesus Christ. He's really not. I mean, he was the perfect guy. But this is all learning for us. You know, we can make decisions in light of what was accomplished for us. Let's see. Turn to 1 Peter 4:8. It says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Fervent is, it's intense. It's an intense love. And that's something you can continue to build. You know, that you want that love to gush out of you too. You know, that you can have intense love one for another and in all that you're doing also. Like I keep saying, you know, God never asks us to like something or to like anything, but he does require us to love. You know, you don't have to like my personality. It's not a requirement. You don't have to like how I do dishes. Not a requirement. You know, but you are required to love me. You're required to have that love for me so that it covers for me. And, you know, and the concluding of evil, it doesn't think evil. It's just, if people do evil, of course you're going to think evil, but it's just you don't conclude it. Like, I don't look at Valerie and go, oh, well, you have no idea what she just did. You know what I mean? You just don't do it. You just zip your lip and that's it. It's between her and God then. And I just think it's great. So again, this is just a wonderful ability we have. And God doesn't leave you with guesswork. You know, he's very specific on how you can handle yourself. And are we perfect? No. But that spirit is. And we can just keep going to God and ask him for help. Because it is a decision. Turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. It says, "Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins." I love that. You know, like, I need people to cover for me. You know, like, if I have confided in somebody, please cover for me. Please don't people word. Pray with me. You know, expect the best with me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And verse 12 says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you." Isn't that sweet? You're not on your own. I mean, he's gonna make you to increase and abound in love to each other. But again, it's a decision. And when you decide, guess who's going to help? He's going to. And turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
Proverbs, Ecclesiastes.
Got it?
After Proverbs. Make a left.
Ecclesiastes 7 verses 8 and 9. There is no man, eight and nine. "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." You know, you have crappy things in the beginning sometimes. But as we continue to allow that love, God's love, to cover or to endure or whatever it is that love needs to do, the end of that thing is going to be better. That's pretty sweet, I think. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. So, you know, again, no need to, if it happens, just quick get out of it. You know what I mean? It's love. Turn to James 5. You probably thought I was just going to go through 1 Corinthians 13, right? There's so much, I mean, this whole thing, I mean, God is love, this is His word, you know what I mean, we're His kids, what wouldn't He do to provide the means for you to be loving? You know, it's part of our nature now. So James 5, verse 11 says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, seeing the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, gracious, and tender in mercy." You know, Job, that was very horrible what happened to him. And apparently God thinks Job was patient. Amazing. You know, but like even in Job too, there's, you know, his friends, he wasn't happy with them, what they did. And they were his friends, but he called them miserable comforters at one point, because they were. But they were his friends, and he said, told them, he goes, "Look, your words are making my heart bitter." And then, but every time God talked to him, he goes, "Your words make my heart soft." So you and God, it's just wonderful. So you heard of the patience of Job, you know, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And he was. I mean, look at Job's end. He ended a happy guy. So, let's see. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 5 through 10. "Doth not behave itself unseemly. Love of God in manifestation does not behave itself unseemly." Or you can say in the renewed mind, whatever. You know, like as you're reading this, you know, you just go, "I can do that. I can do that." You know, so that's your renewed mind. That's you changing your thinking. Because you do have that ability to allow love to win. "Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth." Isn't that sweet? You know, that's a big one for when you live in the world. Oh my God, are you happy when, I don't know, some terrorist dies? Yeah, you know what I mean? But as far as God says, well, it's a good thing, I guess, that they died. But meanwhile, just keep looking to God for His goodness, you know, just rejoice in the truth. It really helps your heart. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In truth is what it's talking about. So charity never fails. So even if someone says, "Hey, I was right in what I did," or, you know, maybe you were, but guess what? Toot, toot. You know, you're tooting your own horn about it, or maybe how you handled it wasn't the best, or all this other stuff, but God's love will never fail. Just never. If you want to win, let love win. Because God and you, He made you victorious, so there's no question on what He's going to perform for you. Let's see. Go to verse 9. "We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with." Even all those wonderful things, the manifestations. He's speaking in tongues, the interpretation, prophecy. Wonderful things. We need those right now. But one day, they're going to end. We won't need them anymore. Amazing. We're just not going to. So, just go down to verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. We need all three, yes? Right. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest. Why? Because God is all love. You know, He's not going to change when He sends back our Lord. He's going to be all love. He has kept record of everything. He's going to reward you. He's going to do all those things He promised He would do because love wins. You know, people have heartaches, and I'm sorry for all that. You know, but love wins. In the very, very end, love wins. Turn to 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have knowledge, right? And knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. There's a difference, huge difference. When you're edified, oh my God, you feel so good about it. You're built up. You think you can do whatever it is you think you can do. You know what I mean? But if it's just knowledge, you know, you're just puffing that knowledge up. Whatever, it's not going to profit you anything. Then Hebrews 13. It's a tall order, but He's a big God, and He made us, like we heard in manifestations, He made us powerful. He made us great. He made us able to do what His Word says we can do. Hebrews 13. And verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, with many and strange doctrines. For it is good, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, right? It's by grace you were saved. And it's by grace we live. It's by grace we have this love shed abroad in our hearts. It's by grace we have what we have from Him. So no matter what the world says about love, we know better, you know, and we can treat each other better than how the world treats each other. Or even treating yourself or treating your situation, or I don't know, but you know, God is, He is love. So it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And I think so too, you know. So, yeah, because what God says we can do, we can do. So just a little something on love.